So if you noticed at the end of the video, he's rapping about people from out of town coming to Houston, looking down their noses at the Houston hip-hop culture. And hip-hop started on the East Coast of the late 70s, and it really flourished on the West Coast as well in the 80s with gangster rap. But Houston kind of, the hip-hop scene kind of developed in a bit of a vacuum. Houston hip-hop really took off in 1986 when a man named Jay Prince founded the record label Rap-A-Lot. And the biggest act on Rap-A-Lot was the Ghetto Boys, who were a group of gangster rappers. And they had a big hit in 1991 with a very paranoid, nightmare kind of fantasy song called My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me. About that same time, a rapper named Kay Reno founded a group of like-minded rappers called the South Park Coalition. This was all people from his South Park neighborhood because they felt like they could get more attention supporting each other than they could working independently. Another thing that led to this independence of Houston hip-hop culture was a business called Southwest Wholesale. It started in the 70s, and it was a sub-distributor that allowed rappers to put out their own music on these small self-owned or independent record labels and get it into stores. So through these different things, the start of Rap-A-Lot and independent labels, some rappers supporting each other, and having Southwest Wholesale available, Houston developed a really independent hip-hop culture where the artists were in charge. So the main artist that I want to talk about today is a guy named DJ Screw. And he was born in Smithville, Texas, which is about an hour or two outside of Houston, a farming community. And he was named Robert Earl Davis Jr. DJ Screw actually lived in the Los Angeles area with his mother during his adolescence and developed a passion for West Coast rap. Then in the 1980s, he moved to Houston with his father, who was a truck driver, and they lived in an area near Hobby Airport, a sort of working-class neighborhood. So he started DJing in 1990, playing parties and clubs, and then he developed a career making mixtapes that he sold, and they used this slowed-down, chopped-and-screwed style, and they featured local rappers, and he sold these tapes directly, first from his home and then through his store, until his death in 2000. So DJ Screw, his own account of how he developed his unique style is that one day he was just hanging around at his home with a bunch of his friends, and he was sort of messing around on the turntables. You know, he could do all kinds of tricks on the turntables. And as he says, "At the time, I slowed the pitch down. Shit sounded good to me." It sounded good to some of his friends, too, who were interested in getting tapes of what he was doing. And to give you a taste of his chopped and screwed style, I thought what I would do is play two versions of the song One Day by the Port Arthur, Houston-based group UGK. One version is the original, and one is the chopped and screwed version by DJ Screw. So the original
well.
Starts off with a sample from the Isley Brothers. Most hip-hop includes samples of earlier music.
And then you're gone.
And I love what UGK does with this sample, because they take a song that's sort of a love song, one day you're here and then you're gone, and they turn it into a song about life in a rough neighborhood where you can be alive one day and the next you're gone. And they've got a rapper named Mr. 3-2 who's going to come in.
Mama put me out at only 14, so I start
very sing-songy style.
Coding, time to stack some paper. I gotta do it quick, thinking I'm a juvenile, but they don't know who they messing with. Yeah, my mama's only son.
This is my mama's
but
only
son. But I live every day like it's my motherfucking last one.
Okay, so that was the original version. And here's DJ Screw at home with his turntables. And I'm going to play the chopped and screwed version. It starts a little way into the song. This mouse just has a mind of its own. Okay, here we go. Slowed down, all the voices are low. That's really characteristic of his tapes. And in a minute, you're going to hear a shout out. He would get on the mic, or someone else would get on the mic and call out friends or neighborhoods. He's using the turntables. So this is Mr. 3-2 again, but he sounds very different. And DJ Screw is chopping or repeating certain parts of his rap. I gotta do it quick, thinking I'm a juvenile, but they don't know who they messing with. My mama's only son. And I live every day just like it's my last one. My mama's this time we hear it twice. And I live every day just like it's my last one. Now he's going to just do some rhythmic stuff. Mama, mama, wah, wah. Mimic, mimic, live, live.
Game and game and game, game, die, die.
And he's doing all that just with his hands on the turntables. He's got the same record on both tables, and that's how he's chopping it. So there were several things that made DJ Screw's music really popular in Houston. And one was the existing car culture in Houston, particularly in African-American neighborhoods. People developed a passion for customizing cars, which are called slabs. And a slab is an older American car, like a Cadillac or an Impala, that's painted with this candy paint, has very fancy special rims that stick out from the side of the car. This is another slab. In the back you have, you know, an amazing sound system, and then a pop trunk, which is a trunk that from the inside you can raise, and in neon you'll have some kind of slogan. So DJ Screw music was the perfect thing to drive around in your slab with. And another thing that made his music really popular was the use of codeine promethazine. It's prescription cough syrup, and in Houston, people would mix it with Sprite or another kind of soda and drink it for a high. It's known as lean or drank or syrup or purple stuff. And you usually drink it from a white cup, like we saw in the video. It makes the user drowsy, kind of takes the edge off, lightens your cares, and enhances your appreciation of chopped and screwed music. So the music not only fit with this these things, but talked about this a lot in the raps. Another thing that made these screw tapes popular is that they featured freestyles by local rappers. And a freestyle is improvised. And they call it off the dome. It's just coming off the top of your head. And this little clip, I'm going to apologize in advance to any audio engineers because it's horrible. But it's one of the few out there of guys freestyling who were involved with Screw. That's Fat Pat. That's a little cheeky. And they're just trading off verses. They're hanging out. They're obviously not in some high-end recording studio or anything. So the way the screw tapes worked is individuals would decide they wanted a tape, and they would go to DJ Screw with a list. This is a list. This is actually one of the artifacts in the archive. It's a list that was made by Lil Kiki, and it lists all the songs that he wants on his tape and a number to call him when they're ready. They might have a freestyle at the beginning or the end, which would probably be the person who ordered the tape and maybe a bunch of their friends or just people who were hanging out at the house that night. Then Screw would give the person their copy, but then he'd also dub tapes to sell to other people. And the tapes often were made for a particular occasion, like somebody's birthday. Like this tape, which we have in the archive, was made for Lil Randy's birthday. Or they might be made when someone gets off lock, which is, you know, coming out of jail to celebrate. So people would come buy these tapes, and you see on the slide before that it only has a title. There's no track list of what's on it. You just get, here's 99 Live, or I heard that one was good. Or, you know, what's the newest tape with Big Mo on it? And that's what you would get. And Screw sold them out of his home. And he actually had so many people coming by to buy tapes that he ended up having to limit it to a particular time when he could sell them. So, like, from 6 to 8 o'clock, you could come to his house and buy a tape. And he would open up the gate. So this is the famous gate. And he would get these lines of cars at, you know, 10 till 6. He would have a line of cars down the block, around the corner, and they were all these fancy candy-colored slabs. And so the police, of course, thought he was selling drugs. So, you know, they came and broke into his house several times to see what was going on, and he wasn't selling drugs, he was just selling music. This is an old picture that's in the archive of some of the guys from the Screwed Up Clique. And they really just started out very casually as friends or, you know, people who were good rappers who wanted to get on a tape, people in the local drug trade. But they eventually solidified and they named themselves the Screwed Up Clique. So if you're in Houston, that's a very good title to have. It's kind of like being an Academy Award nominee. That's going to get you credibility. It's going to get people interested in what you're doing. So people want to say that they're Screwed Up Clique or they're SUC. And this is a lot of the main Screwed Up Clique people in this picture. So after being on the tapes, some of the Screwed Up Clique rappers started having, you know, doing concerts. This is Big Hawk, who was a founding member of the Screwed Up Clique, with a later member named Trey, who's now a pretty well-known artist too, giving a concert. And they released albums. And I really wanted to show you all this Lil Kiki album. It's called Platinum in the Ghetto, because these guys were all very well-known from the Screw Tapes. Just lots and lots of people listened to them. So when they came out with a release, an album on a record label that was their solo album, they had this ready-made audience waiting for them, and they could sell 100,000 albums, you know, and this would be a person that few people knew who they were outside of Houston, but on the streets, they were huge. So the next stage is that Screwed and Chopped Music was so popular that Houston artists and other Southern artists eventually released their albums. They released a regular version, and as you see in the lower corner of this, a chopped and screwed version. So there are actually two different versions of this album, this Paul Wall and Chameleonaire. And the peak of that was, I think, David Banner, a Mississippi rapper who's nationally known and was on a major label and released a regular album and a chopped and screwed version. DJ Screw himself also released four above ground albums. And in 1998, he opened Screwed Up Records and Tapes. He was getting too big to sell tapes out of his house, so he opened up this store. And although he's been gone for over a decade, the store is still going. It's still always customers there. It's run by his family. And there are smaller Screwed Up Records and Tapes in other cities in Texas. So I think in many ways this is a really triumphant story, because a lot of these guys came from very modest means, very dangerous neighborhoods, and they just had their talent and their ingenuity, and they created a whole new genre of rap music. But it's also a really tragic story. Fat Pat, who was thought to be the artist who was going to break out from the Screwed Up Click, he died in 1998. He was shot to death, allegedly by somebody that he knew over money. In 2000, DJ Screw himself died. The Harris County Medical Examiner's Office said that he died due to an overdose of codeine. His friends dispute that. They believe he died from pre-existing heart trouble and overwork. Several other rappers from the clique died too. This is a memorial service that was actually just held last week for Big Hawk, who died in 2006. But there are still many Screwed Up Click members performing and who have developed individual careers and who have sort of become more integrated with the rest of Houston hip-hop. DJ Screw and all the Screwed Up Click members are constantly remembered through t-shirts. If you go online and look at a YouTube video by any of these people, the fans will write their comment, and then they'll say, rest in peace, DJ Screw, rest in peace, Fat Pat, rest in peace, Big Mo, and on and on. And a lot of contemporary artists in their songs will have lyrics about listening to Screw tapes or remember DJ Screw or chopped and screwed music. It's really become a part of the identity of a lot of Houstonians. So in 2010, I began working on the collection. One of the reasons that I wanted to develop a Houston hip-hop collection is because our university, the University of Houston, is the most diverse research university in the country. And we're also located, kind of like Columbia is, we're located right next to a low-income African-American neighborhood and close to some of these other neighborhoods where a lot of Houston rappers have come from. And I knew, I didn't know very much about hip-hop, and I knew that I needed to reach out directly and work with the rappers and find out what was important to preserve. So here I'm meeting with Kay Reno. This was my first ever meeting at a basketball court, but he was really helpful. I also wanted to partner with other academics and businesses. Here I'm meeting with Dr. Anthony Pinn from Rice University, who runs the HEAR Project, which is also working in the area of Houston hip-hop. We didn't know about each other. And he just recently finished teaching a course with a nationally known rapper named Bun B. And we're working together on things. And I'm also working with SoSouth.com, which is a local business which sells music for ringtones and iTunes. And they work directly with local rappers. And my friend Randy there got me introductions to a lot of people that I needed to meet. We've invited a lot of people over to the library. This was an event for members of the Screwed Up Click and family members. That's DJ Screw's father there in the wavy shirt and Big Hawk's wife in the black t-shirt. So we started by acquiring CDs, which have been made from the Screw tapes, which are sold by Screwed Up Records and Tapes. Here I am on the day we acquired them with a couple of DJ Screw's cousins. But we also found out from meeting DJ Screw's father, Papa Screw, that he actually still had DJ Screw's entire vinyl collection. And for a DJ, the turntables and the vinyl records, you know, that's your instrument. So we were really excited. We went out there. We spent two full days with a team of six people going through records. And this is actually kind of after we've cleaned things up. So this is the neat version. These stacks here, these are the damaged records that we couldn't even consider, just from water damage, humidity, warping over 10 years in Houston. But we managed to acquire about 1,000 albums. Most of them were a gift from Papa Screw, and some we acquired through the Moore's Endowment. And we brought them back to the library, and this is our student assistant, Martha, whose job is to clean all of them, starting with surface cleaning of the album covers and moving on to actually cleaning the vinyl with the solution. And so now we have these beautiful records that are clean and pretty and have an amazing association. So I always wanted the collection to be something that was used, that was really open to the community and open to students. So this past spring, students from the hip-hop history and culture course taught through African-American studies came to the department and interpreted some of the material in the collection. Here are a few of the students looking at some handwritten raps that were written by Big Hawk. And we had a special guest speaker. This is Double D, who was a producer with an independent label called Rec Shop that made a lot of the most significant records from the Screwed Up Click. Students loved meeting him. And we have a lot of plans for the future. In 2012, I'll be curating an exhibit on DJ Screw and the rise of Houston hip hop in the library. And we're planning a conference in conjunction with Rice on Houston and hip hop culture. So there's a lot more to come. Thank you. For our collection, not yet, but we've had tremendous support from the artists in Houston, which has really blown me away. They've been very supportive of building the collection, and getting together to talk about materials. So I was kind of keeping it low-key for the first year so that I could have a chance to talk to the people in Houston that I needed to, and we'll be promoting it more, obviously, in 2012. And we'll see what happens. Yeah.
When you were going through all the damaged records and so on, did you list everything that you had discovered?
We certainly considered it, and we really had to make a decision. The full collection was about 5,000 albums, and we kind of started listing it, and it was just, there was no way we could have, done it in the short time frame we had. And as it was, I was sort of begging, borrowing, and stealing staff from other departments, colleagues from African American Studies. So we didn't.
Nathan has a question.
Well, we'll be cataloging the whole collection, creating a finding aid for the archival parts. We have a lot of different bits, papers and photographs and things, but the records will be cataloged. Do you mean have we been getting any sort of negative feedback from people? I'm actually really interested in reflecting the originating community as much as possible. Cataloging things has been a challenge, and we've worked on some things, but for example, for the CDs of the Screwtapes, I'm actually working with some of the members of the Screwed Up Clique to let me know what each one was created for, and then trying to explain a little bit, like, you know, in case somebody looking at it doesn't know what off-lock means, or lives in Houston but doesn't know what the dead end part of town is. So, you know, I'm trying to interpret it in that way. You know, I think there are going to be some people who just don't like the collection in general because they don't like hip-hop or they don't like street culture, but, you know, you can't please them all.
What time are we supposed to end?
Did we end at 3?
What time were we supposed to end?
3:00.
Oh, 3 o'clock. Okay, we've got...
Take one more.
Yeah, we can take one more question. Okay.
No, I know Houston has a really amazing blues culture too, and there's a historian in Houston who works a lot on the blues culture. I think some of the blues history has been documented by the Houston Public Library. I don't know about Duke Peacock or what's left of that label. Part of my interest in documenting the hip-hop culture was the possibility of collecting things before everyone cleans out their closets. And also to connect with the students at our university. So that's why I chose hip hop, but it may lead to other things.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Big hand for Julie. And you know, I'm incredibly pleased to finally have a better idea of what chopped and screwed means, which is, you know, I was never entirely clear on.
There
so
are guys all over the internet who will tell you everything.
So thank you very much. Mm-hmm.